the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Does SARS want to tax crypto to death? Some people think so. Others have a more nuanced view. South African Revenue Services has published its long-awaited draft guide to the taxation of crypto assets, providing perhaps the clearest indication yet of how it expects taxpayers to treat crypto transactions under the law. Now, the draft doesn't create a new tax regime for crypto, but it certainly clarifies or attempts to clarify how existing income and capital gains tax rules apply to everything from trading and mining to staking, donations, and crypto to crypto transactions. Now, that one might be a bit worrying for some people. The guide is open for public comment until 31st of August. Well, joining us now to explore what this means is Tertius Troost, tax specialist at RSM. Tertius, greetings. Thanks for joining us. Let's kick off. What has actually changed here? SARS has always maintained that crypto is taxable. So what does this draft guide clarify that taxpayers didn't know before? And is this simply a restatement of existing laws, or are there some new interpretations that we should know?
As you've mentioned in your introduction, let's just make it clear that this is not SARS or National Treasury introducing a new crypto tax regime, and this is definitely not legislative amendments. Instead, this is a draft guide on existing laws. But I think what is great, at last we can move away from the media statement that SARS issued back in 2018, just saying that the normal rules will apply. And we're now moving to a more structured document issued by SARS. But as you've said, you are right. There's nothing glaringly new with regards to this guide. This is what we as tax advisors have been hammering on for years, is that people dealing with crypto assets need to understand that tax consequences on a much larger variety of transactions than they may think. Over the years, I've had numerous clients believe that either tax consequences are not applicable to them because crypto is unregulated, or tax consequences only arise when you are moving crypto assets into fiat currency. So for me, the value of the guide is just introduces uncertainty and provides insight into how SARS will approach audits and assessments. And each one actually needs to be based on its own facts and circumstances.
Okay, so I guess the big question a lot of people will have is, if I make a transaction involving crypto, is this income tax or is it going to be capital gains tax? And how does SARS decide whether your crypto profits are taxed as ordinary income or as capital gains tax? That's a big difference, right? And what are the practical factors that are going to determine this difference?
Yeah, that's definitely the most important question that all clients who approach me always ask. And many people mistakenly assume that any profit is automatically a capital gain, but that's not how South African tax law works. The distinction is not based on the type of asset, but instead the intention of the taxpayer. And that must be supported, obviously, by some objective evidence. So I think it's obvious that someone that's trying to make a quick buck and trying to time the crypto market and trying to make a short-term gain, that'll definitely be on revenue account and taxed as ordinary income. Someone else who's maybe a hodler and really riding the wave and just has purchased and holding this for a substantial amount of time, you can probably conclude that they're holding it on capital account and should be taxed as capital gains. But I think the reality is that crypto investors will probably fall somewhere in the middle, and that there needs to be each facts and circumstances associated with each taxpayer needs to be looked at closely. Mainly, it would be the holding period for how long this asset has been held, and definitely the frequency of transactions. Is someone dealing on a day-to-day basis, or have they purchased and maybe purchased one a couple of months later? And then also the nature of the asset, crypto being quite volatile in nature. But I think we actually have to look at each one on its own set of facts. I mean, I had a client that approached me saying they definitely feel they're holding these assets on capital account. But when I asked for supporting evidence, you could see that they were actually buying and selling at least on a monthly basis, which definitely shows that they're rather more of a trader than holding for the long term. So, but I must admit that reading the guide, one gets the sense that SARS is preparing taxpayers as though they will mostly argue that all crypto gains are on income account, and taxpayers really need to have their ducks in a row if they are going to argue that the assets are held on capital account. So I think a practical takeaway is that taxpayers should have documents and objective evidence ready from the initial stage and when they make their investments.
Now let's talk about some of the traps for crypto investors. Which transactions do people commonly overlook? For example, crypto to crypto swaps. You might be sending a Binance coin over to your MetaMask wallet and swapping that out for Ethereum or Solana. Would that qualify as, you know, in your income tax account? What about staking rewards mining income. If you're a Bitcoin miner, you know, how are you going to be taxed on those? And then you've got things like DeFi lending or just moving assets between wallets. So what are the mistakes that you could make that will draw SARS's attention?
Yeah, I think there are quite a few, but I think the biggest one is the one I touched on initially, and that is that a taxable event only occurs when there's a crypto to fiat transaction, and that is obviously not correct. A crypto to crypto swap can most definitely trigger a disposal for income tax purposes. So for example, if you're exchanging Bitcoin for Ethereum, SARS will generally take the view that that's a barter transaction. So you would have to look at the market value of the assets in order to understand the tax consequences associated with that. Another one is where people will be using crypto assets for a kind of like they would currency, otherwise paying for goods or services. And once again, feeling that that doesn't really fall within the realm of tax. But once again, SARS sees this as intangible assets and not as currency. So each disposal actually does have tax consequences. And then you did touch on probably one of the biggest traps I feel, and that is decentralized finance or DeFi. And I think the problem is that that has changed so exponentially over the couple of years, and it's one of the fastest developing aspects within the crypto market that SARS even took the view that they're scoping this outside of the draft. So they haven't actually addressed, they've just mentioned DeFi, but saying they're not going to be giving specific guidance on it. And that's probably one of the aspects that we as an industry will be commenting on, saying you at least have to try and just explain to people the tax consequences associated with that, because it's so wide or currently being widely used. But I think apart from that, the biggest trap is taxpayers pretty much playing the detection risk game, thinking that SARS will not know of these assets or won't pick it up. And I think that's a very dangerous game to play, in my opinion.
It does raise the question, how much visibility does SARS now have? Recently, we had the crypto asset reporting framework, CARF, C-A-R-F, and information from local exchanges, centralized exchanges. They can demand information about your trading activity from these centralized exchanges. So is it becoming unrealistic for taxpayers to assume their crypto activity is invisible to SARS? I think the one area that we definitely know is pretty invisible is DeFi. You know, if you're on one of the DeFi exchanges like Aave, SARS can't demand information from them. They certainly won't get it.
Yeah, but I must admit, the days of assuming that crypto is invisible, I mean, I think that's ended. I think any taxpayer thinking the opposite, there's going to be a rude awakening for them. I think what we need to understand is that SARS also has a focus on crypto assets. We know they established a dedicated crypto unit, which sends a strong signal that digital assets are firmly on SARS's radar. And we know that SARS is investing heavily in AI for specific detection of people not paying their fair share. I mean, I had a client approach me where SARS had actually issued a letter at the crypto unit assessing them for 50 million in taxes and another 30 million in penalties and asking me what can they do. And I mean, we're stuck in a very difficult position trying to advise someone who's already received that letter. The point is, I don't want to just bring fear. I think I'm trying to get the point across that crypto investors need to educate themselves on tax consequences and not just take an ostrich approach of sticking their head in the sand and thinking that this will just go away. I think if people need to reach out to advisors, they need to understand the tax consequences associated with it. And this is not like when someone is earning a salary and the employer is withholding the tax when tax return is filed, pretty much nets out already. This is an aspect where you need to file your gains and you need to prepare for paying of tax, even if that is on capital gains tax account or income account. So I think in short, my message to taxpayers is simple. So don't make compliance decisions based on what SARS can or cannot see today. I think that is the most important aspect.
Yeah, I guess assume that the visibility is going to increase in the years to come and they're going to know pretty much everything about you and your crypto activity. But now, let's say somebody hasn't declared crypto in previous years. What should they do now? There's a voluntary disclosure program where they can go with any past gains that they've made. Should they do that? Take advantage of this voluntary disclosure program? What records should they be keeping going forward in order to make sure that they're compliant?
Yeah, I think the worst thing that a taxpayer can do is ignore the issue. If they realize there's undeclared gains in prior years, they should obviously obtain professional advice. But there is this well-established aspect, as you pointed out, of the voluntary disclosure program or a VDP, which exists precisely for these types of situations where taxpayers want to regularize their affairs, they want to pay the tax that is due, but they just want to stop any penalties arising from SARS actually finding the mistakes. And timing is very important here, because if SARS starts asking questions, it might be too late and that option may no longer be available to the taxpayer. And from a record-keeping perspective, I think taxpayers should retain any transaction histories, sort of acquisitions, sales and purchase values, types of aspects. And often I do understand that when taxpayers try to find these, they don't have that information available, or they've been having so many trades that it's difficult to find these. So then you probably have to find a suitable software service provider who can look into those trades for you and try to get these kind of a statement of gains and losses. Even though it's not guaranteed that SARS will accept it, it is at least a point that we can use that as the starting point and maybe just check the balances against your own records.
Tertius, my final question to you. I want you to take off your tax advisory hat, put on your crypto investor hat. Tell me if you think that this draft guide is a good thing. Is it a step in the right direction, or is it a terrible one?
Well, I think it is definitely a step in the right direction. Like I said, the only thing we had to rely on previously was a media statement 8 years ago. So this at least shows that SARS is trying to get to grips with certain of these effects. I mean, if you look at the type of transactions they're trying to list, they're trying to understand them. We can definitely see that there's still aspects that they need to be educated on themselves. And the fact that they're scoping out DeFi is a very interesting aspect. I do feel that SARS is trying to make inroads. But I think more importantly, what actually needs to happen is that crypto, well, not necessarily investors, but maybe exchanges, actually need to lobby national treasury in order to get legislation applicable specifically to the crypto market and not just apply this general normal rules aspect. We're working in almost in the financial space, which have very specific rules for them, and the crypto market is just being seen as an asset. So I think national treasury probably has to start thinking about re-looking at legislation.
So you're advocating therefore a more principles-based approach than a rules-based approach?
Yes, I think if we take a step back and look at shares, right? We have certain rules that say that shares are deemed to be capital in nature if you've held them for a period of 3 years, or in excess of 3 years. We've got no rules like that for crypto assets, and I don't understand why we can't have something like that. Just bring some more clarity to the situation. And thereby, you'll actually get more taxpayers coming forward because now they have a real sense of what the tax consequences would be, and they can then disclose it appropriately. I've always advocated that. I think crypto gains, if anybody holding a crypto asset for 1 year, you know, without selling, I think it would be great if we could argue that they are holding on a capital account. But we would need National Treasury to buy into that aspect and actually make legislative changes to bring that into effect.
Great advice there. We're going to leave it. That was Tertius Troost, who is tax specialist at RSMSA. Thanks very much for your time, Tertius.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.